that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning from the Radio Ranch. And I got to tell you, I'll be glad when summertime rolls back around again. Cause it's 8 below here at the Radio Ranch. And this is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and got Ranch Wrangler Kyle here. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Ramrod. How are you today?
Good morning. Good.
Good,
abundantly
good.
Blessed.
Me too. And as soon as I can feel my fingertips again, I'll be abundantly blessed. No, we are abundantly blessed. We have this good weather and its season here at the Radio Ranch. We are coming to you live January 4th, 2013, the first Saturday morning of 2013. And we're glad to be
fifth,
here.
Isn't it?
Is it the fifth?
Fifth,
it's
yes.
The fifth. Excuse me.
You missed a day.
I missed a day. How'd I do that? It is Saturday the fifth. So it's still the first Saturday of 2013. And we are blessed to be here. We're glad to be here. And we're still fighting the good fight of faith. Oh, a little congestion and head colds. And I know Jason is still fighting that as well, as we all have. So we'll keep him in our prayers, and let's open up in prayer, and we'll open up the phone lines this morning and just kind of make the rounds and see what we have to talk about. So, well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. It is a beautiful day, Lord, looking out over the Radio Ranch. Sun just going to be coming up here in about a half hour. But, Lord, we thank you for the snow we've got, for the cold weather. Lord, thank you for our families, their home resting, and warm homes, warm beds. We know your blessings are upon them, Lord. We know your angels are watching over them. We thank you for that. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here, to continue on this good work of spreading your gospel, of being an inspiration, of exhorting and hopefully inspiring your remnant to draw nearer to you. All the more so, Lord, as we see that great and terrible day drawing near. But thank you for the opportunity. Father, we ask for your blessings on the broadcast this morning, that you would be with each and every one of us, that you would be with the remnant out there that are tuning in from sea to shining sea and all across this world, that the broadcast would be a blessing to them, and that, Lord, it would be a blessing to you. Direct our thoughts, direct us where we go with our minds and with the scriptures that we share with each other and with the remnant. Lord, help us to exhort each other to love and good deeds. And help the remnant to know that they're not alone out there, Lord. That they may be the only one in their town. Lord, they may be the only one in their family. But let the remnant know that they are not alone. That you are with them always. And you have always had your 7,000 that do not bow the knee to Baal. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us strengthen the remnant. All to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And John, we'll go down there and start with you this morning. Kyle's got his Bible open. I know he's got something to share with us, and just thought we'd go down and see if you had anything to start us off with this morning.
Just grateful that solemn assembly went smoothly and Holy Spirit was leading, and we had nothing but good reports from those that attended. So,
you know, if you have your Bibles, turn to Joel. I saw this Thursday night and on the program, and I just thought I would see what you guys thought. Oh, I got a little Bible here. We got like
that is little.
We got an undercover. It's like a concealable sword today. My son took like, my
it's like a Saturday night special Bible.
It's a Saturday morning special. And I know Joel's in there. It's just in a little Bible. It's that much smaller. Okay. So we read all weekend from Joel. Boy, those are little letters. Let me see where we want to be. And
it'll surely be in one of the first three chapters.
Yeah, it will be. Well, it's this is a Holman's Bible anyway, so let's see here. Well, normally it's about 21, 22. Well, you know, that's how it is. You get an unfamiliar firearm, you don't know where the safety is, you don't know where the magazine release is. Kyle, can you find me a... Is there a New American Standard there on the shelf?
We'll see.
If we have,
what are you looking for?
Well, in Joel, and I thought it was in 2, and I just can't find it. That's how it is with
what's the verse you're looking
live
for?
Radio. What? Well, about calling for the... Yeah, that'll work. Huh?
115.
Yeah, there's a couple places in there, and I think it's in 1 and in 2. And Kyle's turning there for me, so since I can't seem to find it in my little Bible. Thank you, sir. But in Joel, where he's... And we read it for calling a fast. Joel 1:14.
Consecrate a fast, proclaim the solemn assembly, gather the elders.
Yeah.
1:14.
And we did that. And all the inhabitants of the land, for the day of the Lord is near. And we did that. And then in chapter 2, it comes up again. And I spoke with Chris this week, and I know you sent me that he's working on, and I spoke with him some yesterday, and he said that in
2:15.
Yeah, in 2:15, talking about...
blow a trumpet in Zion, consecrate
a fast. Now, and that's where I wanted to be, so my apologies. I knew it was there, just didn't know where. Couldn't find it in my little Holman. That text is a little small anyway. But 2:15, blow a trumpet in Zion, and we did that. Consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, and we did that. And I don't mean to come across this as saying, well, we did that. But in humble obedience is our understanding, we did that. Gather the people, we did that. Sanctify the congregation. We took communion 3 times this weekend. We took it on Friday. We took it on Saturday, and we took it on Sunday. And we had talked a little bit last week, I don't know if it was you and I, Kyle, but I know we spoke a little bit last week about sanctification and sanctifying. And that's a big old fancy word, but I think it just means, you know, trying to lead a holy life, turning from our wicked ways and turning back to Him. And we did that. We sanctified the congregation. We all prayed. We all repented. And we all asked for, we all examined ourselves in communion. Assembled the elders. And we did that. Whether we're elders here in the church or what, we are. We're not that elderly, but it's the elders we have. And then there were a couple of other elders that that qualify as elders that gathered as well. Wouldn't you agree with that, John? I don't need to name them, but I know we had at least two or three there that I think would qualify.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But it goes on. Gather the children. We had the children there. And the nursing infants. We even had a couple nursing infants there. Let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. And, you know, we understand that that's Christ and his bride. But we did have a new bride and bridegroom there. And the bridegroom or the bride even got baptized on Sunday, I believe, or right after the solemn assembly. And so when I read that, it just kind of occurred to me that even though we didn't plan on having the children and all the others specifically, that's sure how God worked it out. And then we did obey 17. The priests, the Lord's ministers, let them weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations. And why should they among the people say, where is their God? And that's certainly what they do say. And that's certainly how they act. Anyway, that just kind of came to my attention on Thursday. Didn't mean to ask you about it, John, and then step in and talk the whole morning. But,
no problem. Yeah, that's what I was convicted of when I was reading Joel, that hey, we need to do this. This is what the Bible says to do, and that's what we're going to do. So, praise God. That's what we did.
Amen. Amen. And it just worked out. It just worked out. And we did have, as we've talked about this week, we did have, I think, a very good spirit there. And had good music. And all in all, I think a very good gathering. We had safety and travel for people coming there. And as far as we've heard, safety and travel for the people returning home. So, Mr. Kyle, you had turned over there to the New Testament somewhere. All them red letters I saw there with your open Bible.
Well, this is in Joel here, but I'd like to, between where you read and in Joel 1, mm-hmm. 14 and Joel 2, 15, the trumpet is described in the first part of chapter 2. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. And we did have a man there blowing a trumpet, a literal trumpet. Really what this is talking about, it's talking about warning the people.
Yes.
Warning right. The people of the fire that's coming, the flame that's going to burn. You know, and you can read about that through verse 3 through 5 if you want. You know, I mean, of Joel 2, you know, it talks about the horses. You know, it did a couple of radio shows a while back about the horsemen are coming. And, you know, I use these scriptures because the noise of the chariots that's going to come is going to be overwhelming. Now, what it's going to sound like, to some, it'll sound great. To others, it'll sound like hell.
Yeah.
Whatever you have in your mind that hell's going to sound like, I bet that's exactly what it's going to sound like. Anyway, and the trumpet was blown there, you know, that, and you really can't get the weeping and the sorrowfulness that you need without blowing the trumpet, because that's part of getting you in the right spirits, so to speak, the right mindset, you know, and of what's going to happen. And like you guys both said, I thought there was a great spirit there. I don't use that term or throw it around loosely. Many times it's been said after gatherings, well, there's a good spirit there, and I'm usually one that's thinking, well, mostly.
You know what I mean? Right. I agree.
But this time, I thought it was great, you know. But anyway, you started out this morning in your prayer, Richard. You said, we're fighting the good fight of faith. And not one to really make New Year's resolutions, but I decided I needed to read Christ the Healer again this year. Not just skim over a couple thoughts here and there through it, you know, as I have. You know, it's been a while since I just sat down and read the whole book. Because of Luke chapter 18, and it's a parable that Jesus was speaking, and it's pretty short, but I thought I'd read it. It says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And the Son of Man is coming. We need to never stop putting that out until he's here.
Amen.
But the question is, will he find faith on earth? Now, we all have faith that when we contacted the blood, through repentance, through baptism, through the receiving of the gift of the Holy Spirit, when we contacted that blood, we all have faith that we did that. I know us three that are here on with our microphones on, we all have no condemnation in Jesus Christ, you know, because we know we have contacted that blood. But when it comes to other things, sicknesses, diseases, demonic presences, or however you want to put it, we're not all that sure for some reason. All of a sudden there is condemnation because we all have eyes that see things that tell us different.
We have eyes of the flesh.
Yeah. Now, we really need to work on that. I mean, I need to work on that. Everybody needs to work on that. Because the question was asked, will he find faith on earth when he comes? And we have to have as much confidence that Jesus Christ died for our well-being. You know, all of our problems.
Yep.
He died to save us from our enemies. We have to have as much confidence in that as we do that he washed away our sins. Now, the reason why we lack in faith there is because, like I said, we see things that tell us differently. Mm-hmm. And this book, Christ the Healer, I normally don't read too many books that ain't just scripture. You know, well, I don't read too many books that ain't the Bible, you know. But this book, and I know the pastor learned a lot from this book, you know. It helps build your faith. You know, I mean, if you don't have this book, I strongly suggest get it. I think a lot of people do have it, but you forget how you're supposed to be.
Right.
It's easy to think, well, yeah, I have faith, but I got to do this, or I have faith, but I got no. When you realize that he died for your infirmities, that he died for everything, you don't need anything else. That's really all you need. We don't need anything else to forgive us our sins but the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And come in contact with that. It's the same thing with infirmities, and it's the same thing about our enemies. I went to the barber shop the day we left to go to the camp. The barbershop guy here in town. You ever went in there? Larry's, I think, his first name, right there on Grand, just about where it hits Third. But the guy's, you can tell he's a conservative, probably listens to Rush, and in fact, one of those shows were on, I don't know which one.
Mm-hmm.
But he had no faith. Now, he wants what's right. He wants this world to be right. He wants, I mean, you can't stand the liberal abomination, you know, all this stuff going on. But he had no faith. He wanted to do everything by works of hands, you know, by voting, by, you know, putting the word out on government issues. I mean, he was interesting to talk to, but he was a faithless man because Christ is the answer to everything. Everything that was on his mind, Christ was the answer.
It is.
But he didn't know it.
And you see that in the world because we've tried everything else. We've tried the Second Amendment, and we've tried free speech, and we've tried everything to do with the Constitution, and we've tried, I say us, our people, writing our congressmen, and boycotting, and marching, and none of it works. None of it works. It's faith. This Holman Christian, similar to the Amplified, when you read that, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find, it says, that faith on earth?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just another description of that type of faith that and it goes on to describe that as, again,
faith like a mustard seed what we need.
Yeah, as that kind of faith or faithfulness, it says, the faith that persists in prayer for God's vindication.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that isn't that what that tells us?
The definition of faith is Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Yeah. That's what that widow, that's what she understood it to be.
Yeah. And faith is as a mustard seed that you brought up, John, that's just the beginning. A mustard seed is a small, tiny seed.
Right. And once it starts,
and that will move mountains. What we really need is faith like a child. And we've all had our children believe things because we told them.
Yeah.
We told them, and there was nothing that was going to change their mind at the time because they had complete faith in their father. You know. Now, when we read Isaiah 53 about the blessings that we get from Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us, when we read Isaiah 53 and Psalms 22 and John 6 and all, you know, 1 Corinthians 11, when we read all these things that we benefit from the cross, we should believe them like our children believe us when we tell them
certain
things, you know.
Guys, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Wranglers. This is Bob in Ohio.
Good morning, Bob.
Got a couple thoughts for you to think on. Sometimes I get this situation where the second that I wake up in the morning, I get hit with something that I would never have thought of myself. It's like something was just revealed to me. I don't know if you ever get that. I think maybe this is the only time I'm really thinking.
Pastor used to call it his morning burst.
Real clear. Well, anyway, a couple weeks back I woke up with the 2 Corinthians 10:4, 10:3-4. You know what I'm talking about? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
Right.
Right.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, so that shot through my head, and then the next thought was, well, what strongholds? What are their strongholds? And out of nowhere, I got something shoot back at me, an instant recollection of something that the pastor had said years back, and I don't know if it was a speech that he was giving somewhere or one of his sermons, and he said, you know, they're all right with me teaching that we are identity. He said something about, they don't mind me teaching identity all day long, so long as that I do not go after their being Judah and Benjamin.
Yeah, he said that several times, I remember. Yep.
Is that not one of their strongholds?
Well, they don't want to be exposed, yeah.
Is there not a more stronghold that is being used today to disarm modern Christianity?
Yeah, the lie of who they are. Sure.
Exactly.
Sure.
You know, you could tell someone, I have all the evidence. Look who is Hollywood. Look who is behind the Federal Reserve. Look who did this or that or whatever. And they'll look at you and say, but their God shows a race. You can't touch them. Yeah. That's their stronghold, isn't it? It's one of them.
It is definitely one of their strongholds. And, you know, but like it says in here, we can fight against that. Because the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And you know how you destroy those speculations?
Well, you expose them.
Yeah. But on an individual basis, the best way to destroy that is just to die. Your old self has to die. And that's the importance of baptism. Because that's when you get that gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's like the glasses in They Live. Because when you get that gift of the Holy Spirit, then you can see, or at least you start to be able to see that, now wait a minute, Grandma. You got big teeth, and you got big ears, and you got big whiskers. You ain't Grandma after all. And that's when you start being able to destroy that speculation, to tear down that stronghold. And I know that's one of the reasons that the pastor pushed baptism so hard, is because that is one of those weapons that destroys that very thing. I mean, my thoughts on it anyway.
Now, speaking of baptism, I ran across another thing again, and, you know, I've been doing a lot of researching in the early church fathers, and in almost every case that I'm reading, they were, during baptism, they were anointing the head of the person with oil as soon as they came up out of the water. Now, this is something I do not see anywhere in the Bible, but I'm curious as to whether this could have been an oral tradition that was really true, and they were passing it on and doing it, because, you know, this is right away in the first couple generations after the apostles, and then that makes me, of course, wonder, well, what oil were they anointing the heads with? Would they have just used olive oil, or would they have actually dared use that compounded oil that is talked about in the Old Testament that they were using for anointing the priests or the kings? See, they don't speak about what oil they were using, other than that they were always anointing the head of the baptized person.
Interesting.
Strange thought. Anyway, now, I got something else real quick I wanted to run across to you that I don't, you've probably undoubtedly seen this, but man, this is a passage. Did you ever read Isaiah 34?
Well, I'm sure we
this
probably
totally
have.
Disconnected with what I was just talking about, but it goes back a little bit further into earlier in our conversation there. Isaiah 34,
okay.
And hit verse 5.
Well, in this Holman, it says, when my sword has drunk its fill in the heavens, it will then come down on Edom, and on the people I have set apart for destruction. The Lord's sword is covered with blood. It drips with fat, with the blood of lambs and goats, and the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah, a great slaughter in the land of Edom.
Now, in the King James, in verse 5, it actually says, and upon the people of my curse.
Well, that's Edom.
So, yeah, there it is again, backing up, you know, that Edom is a cursed people.
Yeah.
Did you ever look up Edomite or anything concerning that in the Jewish encyclopedia?
Well, personally, I haven't.
you would be amazed. You know, you would think that they wouldn't have put this in there, but
no, they do, because they want. See, that's part of that, and we've seen that recently. That's part of that those rules of warfare.
They have to tell us what they're doing. Yeah,
they have.
Can I read you something real quick?
Sure.
Okay. After the conquest of Judah by the Babylonians, the Edomites were allowed to settle in southern Palestine. At the same time, they were driven by the Nabataeans from Idumea. In southern Palestine, they prospered for more than four centuries. Judas Maccabeus conquered their territory for a time. They were again subdued by John Hyrcanus, by whom they were forced to observe Jewish rites and laws. They were then incorporated with the Jewish nation, and their country was called by the Greeks and Romans Idumea. When Antipater began the Idumean dynasty that ruled over Judea till its conquest by the Romans, immediately before the siege of Jerusalem, 20,000 Idumeans, under the leadership of John, Simeon, Phinehas, and Jacob, appeared before Jerusalem to fight in behalf of the Zealots who were besieged in the temple. So here you have 20,000 Edomites helping out the Jewish Zealots in this warfare. And then it says, from this time, the Idumeans ceased to be a separate people, though the name Idumea still existed at the time of Jerome. So, they were incorporated into the Jewish nation. They themselves tell you that.
Yeah, they have to. They have to tell you that's what it is, that Edom is Esau, that's what Judaism is communism. They have to put that out, but the sheep are so blinded and so lovingly comfortable in their sin that they don't care. They don't care. They don't, and it's, again, because they haven't been baptized, the remnant hasn't, as a people, to where they just can't see that.
Question for you. With Christ's first miracle, the miracle of the turning the water to wine, it tells you that they took the pots that they used were the ones of the Jewish purification pots. And they filled those Jewish purification pots with water, and then the water was turned to wine. Now, you know, I'm curious if you had ever had any thoughts on whether that connects with baptism or communion. Because you see, whenever you're debating anyone against that, you know, certain people against baptism, they will tell you, well, it never ever says anywhere that the water touches the blood. And it, you know, they will say, well, you know, you're washed by the blood of Jesus, not by water.
Yeah, but there's plenty of places in there, like when it says you must be born of the water and the Spirit.
Yes.
That, you know, that that do back
but
up.
But I'm just curious about that turning that water to wine, because then when you go over to the Last Supper, what did he tell you that the wine represents?
Blood of Christ.
His blood.
Right. And if you go back into somewhere in Genesis, he actually uses the term blood of the grape. He washes the garments in the blood of the grape. And I ran across a reference, I don't know if it was Justin Martyr or who it was that was talking about the blood of the grape. I'll have to look that up again.
Well, I think it just shows that, you know, there are these gems and these these pointers and these explanations throughout the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
It talks about that. And then, you know, when you're trying to explain baptism to someone, I think it comes down, the Bible says, they're either called or they're not.
And if but don't make it more complicated than it needs to be either,
right.
Because then you just confuse people.
Right. It truly is the simplicity of the gospel. And if they will, like was said earlier, have that faith like a child that says, this says, repent and be baptized. Okay. If they will have that much faith and go that far, then once they do that step, once they do that work, and that's what it is, then they're given more. And it's the same way with us, and it's the same way with the remnant out there. And remnant, if you're tuning in, it has to start with that faith as a child. That this is what Father says. This is what the Bible says. Repent and be baptized. All men are sinners, and you must repent and be baptized. And then once you are, then again, that Holy Spirit comes and guides and directs and teaches and makes clear some of the deeper things. John,
yeah,
you had a very
Genesis.
Good point, John. Not to make the matter complicated. It really
make
is
simple,
a real simple
complicated,
thing.
Yeah,
it is a real simple thing. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
Anyways, then I was reading in Genesis 36:9. It says, "These then are the records of the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites." And in the Septuagint, it's mentioned over and over, I think at least three times, maybe four. I just started reading the Septuagint from the beginning and highlighting things that stand out, and that's one of them that stood out. So,
and our pastor revealed that that's who the man of sin is. It's as simple as that. It's Esau. It's Esau.
Esau, Edom, and the Syrian. Yeah.
Well, yeah, here again in Isaiah 63:1. Grab that real quick.
If you got it, go ahead and read it.
Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have tread in the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it beheld me. I will tread down the people in my anger, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their strength to the earth. It goes on and on and on from that. But the first verse, huh?
You get no argument here.
Yeah.
Esau, Edom, not only is the red dragon, however you want to put it, it's going down. Read Obadiah. I mean, it's just, you know, Joseph is going to be a flame. Or is Joseph burning? But Jacob a flame, Joseph burning, and it, you know.
Esau is stubble.
Esau is going to be stubble. I mean,
amen. Amen. And it's all, and it's to his glory, not to ours.
Amen.
Hey, Bob, thanks so much for calling in and sharing all that with us this morning.
Okay. You guys have a good one.
Have a blessed weekend. Thank you.
Bye.
2 Corinthians 10, means we were there a while ago about the pulling down of strongholds. You got to read verse 5 because it kind of describes to me what strongholds are. Casting down imaginations. Now, this is King James. Why don't you read it? Well, I can turn it in.
I've got this other little Bible here.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And where did the pastor teach us that this battle was going to go on? Right
the
there
mind.
In between the temple, right? I mean, in our mind. And that's where Esau Edom has tried to set himself for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
done a good job, really.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
You know, and why does people not have the faith they should have? Because of this right here, these strongholds that they've put in the minds that destroy faith. You know, they want to go on what they can see. You know, well, if you go on what you can see, you're in trouble.
Right. You know, well, they've given us that lie. Seeing is believing.
Yeah.
And they have made that to be almost part of Americana now. Seeing is believing. No, seeing is not believing. Your eyes will deceive you. Reading and believing the word is believing. Yeah. This is truth.
Yeah, I was reading, I was looking for the scripture that let not oil be lacking on your head, and that's in Ecclesiastes. That's one of the scriptures Richard and I both like. It's encouraging to
you. I don't like it?
To your spouse. Yours too, but I mean, we bring it up, brought it up quite a bit.
Where's it at, John? Ecclesiastes where?
9:8-10, and it says, let your clothes be white all the time, and let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. So the way I read it, that's the gift God's given us. An earthly gift is our wife, but it's faith and salvation. You know, that's our heavenly gift.
Yeah. Well, and it's yeah, and I think it's a foreshadowing. Again, it points to Christ. Let your clothes be white. How can our clothes get white? How can, you know, he's the only one clothed in white. It talks about it in Revelation, but it's when we are baptized into him, we are clothed with Christ. See, it points back to, to me it says, if you will be baptized into Christ, then you can be, you will be, then you will be white all the time and not versus being black. That's not what it's talking about here. But then we are clothed in white and never let oil, that oil of understanding, be lacking. And where on our head, where's our temple? Or where's that battle we just talked about between our temples? Kyle's looking something up.
Kind of what Bob was talking about too, though, with oil. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Got the phone line ringing again. Let's go to that while Kyle's looking that scripture up he's looking for. Good morning. Thanks for calling in. You're on with Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, Wranglers. This guy up in Montana.
Good morning, guy.
Boy, I'll tell you what, last night when Jason had that their little show, I listened to it. I just wanted to say this, that we're pushing over pillars. Their strongholds are being broken down. I feel it in my spirit. I believe it in my heart. And I just keep trying to keep with Bob, what he was saying goes right pretty much along with Adam and Jason was talking about last night, the very complex way that these things have all been set about. And I just would like it if we could hear that whole show again, because it's very revealing. And I know that we have we've broken through a wall of some kind with this here information, just saying what Adam was and them guys was talking about last night. We've revealed a big secret, and we've broken through a barrier. And what Bob was talking about, I just can't remember now, but I can't keep up with you. But I want to tell you thanks a lot, fellas. We're doing a great job today. I know in my spirit we have broken through a barrier, and we've revealed some kind of something that they have done that's got this whole world under a spell. But praise the Lord. And
that's that mighty weapon too, guy. That mighty weapon of prayer. If you're listening, look at the words and read them really carefully. That's what it's doing. It's bringing down those sacred.
It is. Tears down their strongholds.
Babylon.
Yeah. Well, you know what you guys did? Just solemn assembly out there. You know, there's so much we can't see that takes place around us, the unseen. I really do believe that whole effect, that whole thing that you did there, we're tearing them apart, literally, because what you did somehow opens up more and more information. Now they're leaking out, so to speak. They're a wounded enemy, and they're bleeding out. Last night, we just really went after them. When those words are spoken, like he was speaking, saying what this meant, and talking about the guy eating the scroll and the sweet and the sour, and I mean, man, we really...
Ezekiel.
What's going on? Wonderful. Praise the Lord, you know?
Amen. Well, we did it out of obedience to Christ and the Holy Spirit, so.
You know what? I appreciate it if you would consider playing Jason's thing over again, because every time those words are said, that's power being released from our on our side, if you will, and that's beating up on an enemy. We're not letting them flee and not going back and restore. We're going right after them. And you know, thanks for doing your solemn assembly. That can't explain it myself, but I do know this, that you're and all of us being obedient and you know, pursuing the word and the will. Anyway, boys, thanks a lot. Y'all have
Guy,
a good day.
Guy, hold on just a second, because I should know this, but I know that Jason's program from last night, it let me look here on the schedule. If you and we'll let you know, and I know many don't use computers, but if you do, our network website is SFAWBN. SFAWBN.org. And it has the complete broadcast schedule there, the program schedule. And so if you want to look at it, you can see, you know, what's playing and that type of thing.
And when it replays, yeah.
And when it replays. So I'm looking here, and I'm just having to go and look. But normally we will, you know, like Jason's program will replay, you know, the next day, or it might even be like on a Monday that it replays. I'm just looking here to try to see. And then, but they're also archived. They're also archived at the website so that you can look and see, you know, when things are playing, and you can go back to those archives pretty much at any time. I know we keep at least three months on there, so that you can go and see when that plays. I'm just not finding it here. But anyway, SFAWBN. The archives are there. And I think that on Monday, I want to say on Monday that Jason's Friday night program gets some replay. Guy, I'm not sure. I think it's Monday morning and then Monday toward the evening. I'm just not seeing it exactly like I'd like to right here. Of course, that's the way.
I tell you what, I believe that there, these chain of events that you guys did, that solemn assembly, it has some substance to it that I don't understand, but other than what I read. And then last night, hearing that old boy talking, that's a devastating blow towards the enemy.
Yep.
It really is. We done took a leg out from under their horse.
We're going to make it priority to this year, the year of our Lord, 2013. That's what I'm calling it. to reveal the second part of DC Street Sorcery. So, Lord willing, that's going to be coming out pretty soon. And also,
yeah, that's right. You're right at headquarters.
God Save America too is going to be a priority this year. So,
yeah. Well, God bless you, fellas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Guy. Have a great weekend.
Yep.
Thank you. Well,
it's interesting when you're reading Joel 1, you know, and we started in 14, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord, alas, for the day of the Lord is near, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty. Okay, now, then I underlined it right there, because I think that's where we're at. But if you read on, that's what's coming. Has not food been cut off from before your eyes? Gladness and joy from the house of our God. The seeds shrivel under the clods. The storehouses are desolate. The barns are torn down, for the grain is dried up. How the beasts groan. The herds of cattle wander aimlessly, because there is no pasture for them. Even the flocks of sheep suffer. To you, O Lord, I cry, for fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and flames have burned up the trees of the field. Even the beasts of the field pant for you, for the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. That's what's coming.
Yeah, that's described in Revelations. You know, and that's where, you know, the Lord's telling the angels, don't hurt the trees of the grass till those that are sealed, you know, with the seal of God on their foreheads, you know, and then they're going to go through and they're going to do exactly what that was describing there in Joel. And
right.
A great and terrible day is coming. Great for some, terrible for
right.
others. Yep.
Like Pastor always said, you know, we have to strive to be in that the first cut, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where we're standing on the shores watching the tribulation instead of being part of it. But how do we do that? Well, that's what the Solemn Assembly was about. We need to get to that holy of holies and sanctified, taking all of our thoughts captive and praying that the Lord would guide and direct us to the point where we get to the obedience that he wants so that he can punish their disobedience.
Amen. Well, we've got time for another phone call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is Russell out in West Texas.
Well, good morning,
hey,
Russell.
How are you guys?
We're doing well. Did you guys have a safe trip back from the gathering?
We certainly did.
Praise the Lord.
I just called to see if, make a couple of comments. Number one, I really felt unity up there in Colorado in the Solemn Assembly. I didn't get any vibrations of discord whatsoever in that group. And I just wondered if you guys got that same feeling, and more so than that, humility was in the air. And those are two things that come to my mind about the Solemn Assembly. We've all been to probably a bunch of assemblies and recall sometimes the crowd just jump out and take over. Sometimes it seems like. But here, I did not feel like there were any inhibitions of learning or trying to grasp what we were trying to do up there.
Seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance, yeah. I agree. There was nobody that was bold and brazen. Everybody was humble and willing to listen to each other, because that's what the whole point of that was. We decided that we were going up there and we were going to listen to what God had for us, what the Holy Spirit revealed. And he can reveal that to anyone who's a baptized believer. And I know exactly what you're saying, Russell.
Well, I want to thank you guys for putting in, for reading the Word and then through that reading of the Word, realizing the need to do this. So, thanks.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Russell, for making the sacrifice to come out and for...
It was small in comparison to the benefit.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks again, guys.
All right. And
we'll talk at you later.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
And we'll try one more phone call. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes. Good morning, Wranglers. This is Henry from Michigan.
Good morning, Henry.
Yes. Good morning. I'm just calling to tell you how much I appreciate knowing that the wonderful work that you're doing, and it's a joy to my heart to know that I'm not the only remnant in this world, so to speak. You know how the blows of the evil ones come against you, and I see you guys as the barley boys, you know, the first ones to wake up, the ones that are hardy, the ones that can take the hard blows of the evil ones, and you're the Gideon soldiers, and you have the spirit, and you have the intestinal fortitude to push on when others are just defaming us, you know, left and right. But the truth, it holds its own. It doesn't have to have those, you know, props that lies have to have, a prop after prop after
right.
prop, and the fear they're trying to throw into us. And my heart is just so full of joy that I have you and yours as my companions, and I'm in that group. The joy has been missing for a long time, because all these preachers that are out there have been lying and lying and lying. And when I, a couple years ago, three years ago now, I guess, when I tuned in, that brought my spirit up. When I heard Pastor Peters, I says, man, I finally had the truth coming at me. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate you fellas and staying on the air. And, you know, I know how the airwaves, you know, I use shortwave, and I know how they come at you, you know, messing with your lines. But I stay with it, and I don't know what I would do in this world without you remnants leading in the charge for the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, amen, brother. Lord, thank you.
Yeah, well, Savior, thank you.
Our Redeemer.
We can't do what we do unless you do what you do, the faithful remnant. So thank you.
Yes. I just wanted to say good morning and let you know that I'm still out here and I'm, you know, plugging straight forward, you know, down the way of the road, not being distracted to the left or any other direction, just straight down the road and just let the shield of faith keep, you know, their weapons off me.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for calling in and sharing that with us and with the rest of the remnant as well.
Yes. Well, Jesus Christ bless you and your ministry as I pray for you also. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
I know.
What an encouragement, huh?
I like what Henry said. Just there's certain days, especially if you've been in a battle, where you just want to say, I'm still here. You know, said I just wanted to call in and tell you guys I was still here. Yeah. Sometimes you just feel like saying, I'm still here, because you've won a little battle or, you've had a victory. And you just, you know.
You plan on winning more.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. Well, you know, I didn't get to tell him, but, you know, we had a good teacher. He talked about standing in the gap and having the intestinal fortitude and the wherewithal to continue on. You know, I think that the disciples, when they saw what Christ went through, and that strengthened them, they had a good example to follow. And I think that in all that they did, in the whether it was the wild beast they faced or the daily fights of faith, you know, we read about the apostles, you know, writing that, you know, I don't do what I'm supposed to do and I do what I'm not supposed to do. But, you know, they put that down in writing. They let others know about it. I think others prayed for them and they prayed. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, came and got them through that. And, you know, to a different extent, we had that same example. And, you know, we honor our pastor when we remember what he did, and it was all to the glory of Christ, and when we continue on in those footsteps that were put before us.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we're out of time. We thank you all for joining us. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And as John said, we're only able to do what we do here when you, the remnant, remember us in your prayers and in your support. We invite you to church tomorrow, scriptures4america.org, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. Come to church with us. We'd love to have you there. Going out with a different song today. This is coming. Hope you're ready.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Shall only come to those that love the Lord. Are you ready?
sad day coming, there's a sad day coming by and by, when the sinner shall hear his doom depart. I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready?